Probably stand up and worship with us this morning.
I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord.
Do we say,
yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen.
I am pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. I am blessed beyond the curse, for His promise will endure. But His joy is going to be my strength. Though the sorrow may last for the night, the joy comes with the morning. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my
joy of the Lord.
How is everyone? Blessed. I like that. I like that. Everyone have a good spring break? We got a little bit of snow. And then yesterday I had shorts on, so why not? It's Missouri. Well, good morning. It is great to see all of you. A lot of people out and about traveling this weekend or having babies, one of the two. So hopefully we can get everyone back and babies here so we can meet. But we miss everyone when they're gone, and we love to see you when you're here.
Right.
And we love to see our visitors this morning. We have some visitors this morning. So we want to say good morning and welcome to you all. Make yourselves at home this morning. Make yourselves at home. Going to go ahead and jump into announcements. We've got a lot going on. This morning, we're going to have an organizational meeting of the new church board, which Pastor Gary, when we do our prayer time this morning, we'll touch more on that. But if you're part of the new board, please plan on staying for a brief meeting,
West Overflow.
Right after church. Then this afternoon, we'll have our final SDMI meeting of this church year. And then we have small groups at 6 and regular evening service here at 6. This coming Saturday, our lay leadership team will meet at 9:30, but we'll have a men's ministry breakfast right before that at 8 o'clock. If you have not signed up, there should be a sign-up sheet out on the Welcome Center. And then next Sunday, we've got a lot of stuff going on next Sunday. We're going to have some missionaries with us that are currently serving in Spain. So during our Sunday school hour, all of the adult Sunday school classes will meet in the fellowship hall. There'll be some coffee, some juice, and pastries provided. So there'll be a little breakfast for that. And then during our actual worship service, they'll be speaking again, and that will be Daniel and Margarita Posado, and they're actually from Argentina, but serving in Spain. So I'm excited to hear what they have to share with us. And then after service next Sunday, we'll actually having our monthly dogs dinner. So bring some food, and we will celebrate our birthdays and anniversaries for the month. And then after that lunch, we are going to have a vacation Bible school organizational meeting. I don't know if you all noticed, but out in the foyer, there's a little pop-up deal over by the coat rack that kind of has our theme for this year's Bible school. Amber will be heading up our vacation Bible school again. And the dates are July the 11th, 9th, 9th through the 11th. So not only does she tell me what to do at home, but she's correcting me now. So she says if I would listen more often, that wouldn't be a problem. So I know as every year, we need a lot of volunteers. So if you can stay next Sunday after lunch, she would appreciate it, and she will kind of tell you a little bit more on what the theme is and some of the different things we're going to try to do differently this year. I know for one, we're going to hopefully be able to use the sanctuary a lot more, because hopefully by then we should have our chairs in here so we can move the chairs around, utilize more of the sanctuary for that. So I'm excited. I know Amber's excited to see the different changes that we do this year. This morning, I don't know about you all, but when I opened up the bulletin, I thought I had two bulletins. But that's not the case. The added bulletin is our faith promise, which we will be doing next Sunday. So this extra bulletin gives you more information about the missionaries that will be speaking with us next Sunday. And then here's a card for your pledge. Don't fill this out today, but take it home, stick it in your Bible, pray about it. Pray what God would lay on your heart to give for Faith Promise, and then we will be collecting these cards next Sunday during the service. And then the last thing I want to touch on, that middle section of your bulletin down at the very bottom, that number keeps growing each week, and that's, I mean, it's awesome. We're almost at 20, well, we're a little over 21,000, and our goal to be halfway to that 30,000 isn't until, I believe, next Sunday. So you guys are doing great. Keep up the good work. And just as God lays it on your heart to give, please be obedient. So I believe we have a mission moment at this time.
I think most of you realize that giving has a great deal to do with spreading the gospel around the world. And most of us have never had to break our bread and pass it to our neighbor like they were doing, but using our finances to make sure that our brothers have bread is a great part of what Christianity means. Inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And so we need to keep that in mind in our giving and what can we sacrifice to give to reach people with the gospel message. I'd like to have our ushers come at this time to receive our weekly tithes and offerings. Father, as we bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse of God today, we ask your blessings upon it. We ask that you would touch our hearts. Lord, we've been blessed. We have so much while the world around us goes wanting. Help us to give, to sacrifice to give, that others may have the gospel message of Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen.
Love to sing your praises, Lord. lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high.
And Lord, I lift your name.
Lord, I lift your name. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I love to sing your praises.
Lord, I love to sing your praises.
I'm so glad.
I'm so glad you're in my life.
I'm so glad you came to save us.
I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from to show the way from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Let's do that. Let's lift up his name. Lord, I lift your name. I love to sing your praise. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad. So glad you're in my
down, you pick me up when I am dry.
strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious tool. Lord, to give God by me a fool.
For prayer this morning, we want to be mindful, as always is the case, of those items that are listed within our bulletin this morning. We want to be praying for these significant events that will be coming up in the life of our church, praying for our Faith Promise Convention, and our mission giving for the next year. We appreciate all that you have done. You've always been a mission-minded church, and so we just trust that you indeed will be praying this week. Over that, be here next weekend and be a part of that gathering. Hear the Posados speak, and it's been we have kind of an interesting prayer focus this week. Not only are we rejoicing at the birth of one of our expected children to come, but we continue to pray for Kelly Carricker, who is at home experiencing some level of contractions from time to time, and has been for Saturday seems to be her day. And it bleeds over into their weekend every week. So at any rate, they're not only fighting daylight savings time, but all of the other things that, you know, you're fighting when you're expecting children. And then Sarah Schofield as well. And Sarah's here this morning. She was sick last weekend, so glad she's better and that they are with us today, and appreciate that. And then you noticed in your bulletin written, the Posados, actually one of the reasons that they have not even arrived in the States yet is because they have a daughter that is experiencing a high-risk pregnancy, and her mother is staying with her. Matter of fact, she may not even get into the States. She may stay with the daughter to help her, and Daniel may be coming by himself. And so we want to remember. So we've got all of these pregnancies that we've been praying over, and we got one early yesterday. And so Heather and baby are doing fine. And, you know, these phones are unique inventions. They work for all kinds of things. And I know that you can see every detail of that. But that's Grandpa's contribution. So thank you for your prayers. There was some concern. Matter of fact, yesterday was kind of a crazy day, and at one point in time, they thought they might be sending them back home to wait, and then about less than 2 hours later, we had a baby. And so things changed very quickly. Isla Jean is 6.5 pounds and 18.5 inches long, and the birth was very quick. There was some concern that they might be placing her in the NICU, the intensive care unit, but that is not the case, and so we think everything is moving along fine. And so thank you for your prayers, and I trust that you will be faithful to pray for Kelly and to pray for Sarah, and now to pray for the Posado's daughter, that indeed God will bless these ladies and help them for things to go well for them as well. As we pray this morning, I want to ask some folks to come and come here to the altar of prayer. We have been electing leadership in the church, and so we want to pray over some folks this morning. You have the results, or I think you're supposed to have the results of the election in your bulletin, and if it's not, we'll try to see that we get one to you. But at any rate, so if I can have these folks to come and stand before us here at the altars this morning, Brother Ben Shelton will continue to be our Sunday school superintendent. And these folks will serve us as the church board this year. Jenna is out of town this weekend with family in Arkansas. Steve Beechler is not here this morning, or maybe with the children. He's upstairs with the children. And Stevie and Tiffany were here at one point in time. They may have had to leave. Okay, so at any rate, Ben and Linda Lewis, Pat Stevens is upstairs. We've got so many people that do multiple tasks here in the church. Some of them are working as we speak in various locations here in the church. But Ben, if you would come down. And then our Sunday school board that will be serving this year, Troy Brooks, Tiffany and Jenna, who we've already mentioned, will be doing some double duty in that area. Jennifer is the new missionary president, and she is taking care of children this morning. And so these folks are hard at work in praying for them. And yet, also, we want to introduce to you, there are 8 positions on the new lay leadership team that is a part of the prescriptions that we are doing. And so I'd like to have those folks come as well this morning, and let me introduce you to them. Leading our children's ministry is Carolyn Stevens, who is leading our children's ministry. So she's upstairs with the children. And then leading our youth ministry is Cody Swearingen, who is at the hospital with his wife. And then leading our worship for the tentative interim period until we secure a worship leader is Marie Horn. So Marie, if you'll come. And then the care ministry is Rennie. And so I'm not sure if he's had to leave this morning as well, or if he may be helping. They've got a passel of grandchildren here up in children's ministry this morning. So and then Daryl Garten is leading our assimilation. Somebody's always asking me, what in the world is assimilation? Well, assimilation is what happens from the time people drive through onto the parking lot until they become active, involved participants in small groups and ministries in the church. So everything that happens from the first time people set foot on this ground, there are going to be some changes that we're going to be making to do a better job of introducing ourselves to people, greeting people, informing people, helping people to find a place of service amongst us. And so all of that is falling under Daryl's leadership, and they are already actively preparing all of that. And so you'll be excited to see and hear about some of those changes that will be coming into place probably within 30 days or so. And so we're excited about that as well. And then Matt Allen will be our facilities director. And we're still, you can be praying with us about this, that we are still seeking a bridge events coordinator and an adult discipleship coordinator that handles all of the education in adult ministries. And the bridge events coordinator helps us to tie our events so that one event leads into another event, so that we get people coming back and repeating their connection to the church. That gives us a greater opportunity for them to become assimilated and be a part of us. And so all of these things work together. So you have the names of the folks, and if you folks will turn and face the congregation there, these are the folks that we want to be praying for. Some of them are already hard at work, but these are our additional leaders that will be serving in these various capacities. So let me invite you to stand with me at this time, if you would. And Marie and Ben and Amber, I think we want to sing together our song. They're going to come back and help us here, okay.
Acapella.
The altars are open to you if you have need of them. We always want you to know that they're available to you. If you need a place to kneel and pray and to lay down a burden or lift up a burden, we need to celebrate things. You know, our vision is to win 64 people to Jesus Christ this year and to touch 1,200 people with the love of Jesus Christ. God is doing good things in our midst. Brother Ben's already reported we are ahead of the goal of the halfway mark, but we need to raise $30,000 to complete flooring and those kinds of things. There'll be some additional things. If you haven't gone upstairs, you may want to go upstairs. There's been work going on there all week this week. They're making changes to that facility so that it better serves the children and youth, and that's a work in progress. Chairs have been ordered. The new digital sign for out front has been ordered. We indeed have seen three decisions to this point since we started this of people coming to Christ directly through our church ministry. And then, of course, we reported to you about Jose, but 17 people that have come to Christ as an indirect influence of our supporting ministries that come into the area and help us. I just got a report this morning that we have had two first-time visitors in the children's department that are a direct result of our children inviting their friends to come and be a part of children's ministry. And they have a goal. I just saw this last week, but the children's department has a goal to bring 10 children into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ during this year. And so we want to pray along with them to accomplish that. And some of you have been talking to me that you have been doing some inviting too. You've been praying over your servers at meals, and you've been talking about Christ. You've been inviting. How many of you have in the last few weeks been inviting people to come to church or to talk to them about Jesus Christ? And so we see all of this is beginning. And sometimes it takes a little while for the fruit to come to harvest. But good things are happening, and God is in the midst of it. And so we thank you, and we celebrate all that God is doing and for these who are going to be leading us. Let's sing, and as we sing, if you need to use the altars, feel free to come, and then we'll pray together.
In the presence of
blessing to have a day that is committed to thinking about you, a day that is labeled as the Lord's Day, your day, a day, Lord, where we slow down and where we stop some activity and we rest our bodies and our minds and our spirits and we gather together and we lift up your name, we reflect on your word, we listen for your voice. And Lord, we are changed into your likeness and image a little further. Father, we come today celebrating you, thanking you for being the almighty, all-powerful, all-seeing and knowing God, for being a loving heavenly Father, for being someone who is always there, who we can always turn to, and who is always more than sufficient for all of our needs. Now, Lord, sometimes we may not quite hear things as we should, or maybe we're not quick to obey like we should. But, Lord, we believe that if we continue to passionately seek you with all of our heart, and all of our soul, and all of our mind, and all of our strength, you have said to us, I will be found. And so, Father, we believe that you indeed are orchestrating and guiding and directing, for the things that are happening in our midst could not happen other than by the hand of God. And so, Father, we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for what you're up to. We thank you for your plan for this church. And, Lord, we just thank you for your plan for our individual lives. And, Lord, we pray that you indeed would continue to give us guidance and direction, that you would begin to speak into our hearts. And, Lord, that you would allow us to know beyond a shadow of a doubt the direction that you would have us to take, the things you would have us to do. And, Lord, we continue to thank you and to enjoy being amazed at the way you do things that seem impossible to us, the way that you go about things, the people that you use to do things, Lord, that would seem to us could not be done. Now, Lord, you know that as we have defined here today, we have a lot of folks that are out. This has been a spring break week. We know a lot of people are traveling with family, trying to do activities, Lord, before they go back to school. And we know that there's been some sickness that indeed has been out there. And, Lord, we thank you that Lonnie and Donna are able to be back with us today. It's good to see Sarah here today. Lord, we thank you for being with Cody and Heather in the hospital. Lord, we pray that you'd have your hand on Kelly and on Sarah and on the Posados' daughter as they're dealing with these pregnancies, Lord Jesus, that all things would come to an exciting and happy end of pregnancy and be blessed with wonderful, beautiful babies. And Lord, we thank you for new life. We thank you for the fact that you are the creator of all life. And Lord, not only do you give us new physical life, but Lord, we're excited about these new babies that have been birthed into the kingdom of God by hearing the gospel and receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And Lord, that is our mission. We want to take personal responsibility to go and make disciples, or as we are going to make disciples. Lord, we want to be out there, and we want to share our faith, and we want you to give us confidence and strength and help us to have the words to speak. And Lord, we continue to just try to equip and resource and do everything we can to be obedient to the vision that you have given to us to win 64 people this year and touch 1,200 people with the love of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we want to be effective. We know that there are challenges to that. We know the enemy has fought this mission. We know that he's done that throughout history. And yet, under times of persecution, the church has flourished and grown. And Lord, that's what we want to do. We want to flourish and grow. And Lord, as the enemy would attack or oppress, we want to prove that God is greater and God is more powerful. And Lord, you are going to do all that needs to be done to take care of your church. You said, I will build my church. So Lord, we just want to do our part to lift up Jesus. We want to do it in our services. We want to do it in our places of work. We want to do it in our homes. We want to make sure that people know that we want to be identified with Jesus Christ, that we are not ashamed of the gospel, that we are not ashamed of our Lord and Savior. But Lord, give us holy boldness that we might go out not in an offensive manner, not in a rude or crude way, but Lord, in the love of Jesus Christ, that is such a beautiful thing. No one has ever really wanted to turn it away. They've been attracted to it since Jesus came on this earth, when people love the way that Jesus does. Lord, help us to claim truth and indeed to share the love of Christ in all that we do. Lord, we pray for our people today that whatever their needs are, that they would be met in Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that you would continue to answer prayer and to do all that needs to be done, and that we'll continue to glorify and honor and praise you by the way we live. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. 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 You may be seated. Pray for these leaders. We are appreciative of their willingness to serve And so we want to lift them up. We want to be faithful to support them as God uses them to lead and guide and direct us in all that we are doing and working to achieve here in our church. It has been challenging and exciting at the same time. I made phone calls and I signed my name on the line and ordered chairs and ordered a sign. And some of you have not heard all of that story, but how many times do you get to do business with somebody who says, I just like what you're telling me and I like what I'm hearing about what you're doing at your church, and so I'm going to give you more of a discount on your product? That happened. That indeed happened as we negotiated the sign. And even this past week, and I've been accused of various things in the Wednesday night service, but even this past week as we signed the final contract on the chairs, I said, hey, this, you guys are being nice to us and you're doing a good job. Can you squeeze it a little more? I said, I like zeros. I just love to get all these odd numbers off here and get down to zero. And I said, I'd like to sign this contract for $15,000 instead of this $15,400 and some odd dollars. And he said, well, I'll put the pencil to it again and I'll check it one more time and I'll send you a copy of the contract. I got the contract, $15,168. So he squeezed a little more. So God has been good, and we have been blessed in that respect. It is a challenge. And in a human, fleshly honesty, it is a challenge that would seem like, how in the world can we do that? But here's what I know about God. When God's people pray and obey, there is not anything God cannot accomplish. And he has continued to prove himself in that realm, and you are ahead of schedule. I know that we're asking you to give in regard to the Mission Impossible campaign, $30,000. Now we're coming back and saying we're going to do Faith Promise Weekend. We're asking you to make a pledge to missions. And then as we continue to do various things along the way, there are always things to contribute to. I read a story one time and said, you know, our child used to cost us X amount of dollars, and in order to get them through elementary and secondary education, it cost this, and in order to get them through college, it cost this, and then all of a sudden, our child did not cost us anymore. And the individual said, well, what happened? And they said, our child died. Things that are living and things that are thriving and reproducing, there are costs to those things. And so we want people to have the opportunity to live and thrive in a knowledge of Jesus Christ. So thank you from this pastor's heart. Thank you so much for being willing to give, for being obedient, and for stepping beyond obedience into being sacrificial. And with that said, this morning, last week I spoke to you about the cost of discipleship, and I want to speak to you this morning about the test of discipleship. And indeed, if you figured it out from last week, you can get on your phone. If you have the YouVersion of the Bible, you can get on your phone and go to the YouVersion of the Bible, hit events, and check events. Under events, there will be Nixa Church of the Nazarene. If it doesn't pop up, you can go into the search on the YouVersion of the Bible and type in Nixa Church of the Nazarene. And this morning's outline will pop up, and all the scripture that you have a hard time keeping up with me on is already pre-printed in the phone, and you can pick it up and go from there. So we're trying to Cody, even while he was preparing to have children, you know, just got that taken care of for me. And so, you know, isn't it good when you have kids that are so good to you and take good care of you? Speaking of kids, Will and Larissa are home today and here, and the grandkids are here. And so it was kind of a surprise. They came home for a couple of special birthdays, my father-in-law's 80th and my mother's 85th, and got in on the birth of the baby in the process. So great to have them here. We love and appreciate them. I want to say publicly, every father is not too sure that there's any guy out there who really can do a good job of taking care of their daughter. But I want to tell you that I am blessed. For Will Darter is a wonderful man of God. And I love you, and I appreciate you taking care of my daughter and my grandsons. So thank you, Will. Appreciate you. And Larissa has always been a wonderful, beautiful Christian young lady, and we appreciate her as well. So anyway, you get all the personal stuff for free. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. God has challenged me a great deal over these last few weeks and months. Jennifer and I have been serving as senior pastor of a church somewhere since I've been 20 years old. Most of those years we lived in somebody else's house. And most of those years we lived paycheck to paycheck because we chose, as we began to have children, and we just didn't figure out how to stop that for a while. And there were four of them that came along. But as we had children, we chose for her to stay at home with those children, which in this economy and culture, as it's been for many years, is a challenge in itself. And so as a result of that, we did not accumulate wealth. It went out just as quickly as it came in. Now, through the kindness of your hearts, as we have pastored here now for 30 years, you decided while we were here and as the church grew to do things that would help us. You contributed to a retirement fund for us after we'd been here for a few years. You began that. And then a few years ago, 10 years or so ago, maybe a little longer now, you decided as a church that you would give us the opportunity to own our own home. And we are forever grateful for that. It's a good thing for me because I'm kind of a worrier about financial things. And it was good for me to know that no matter what happened to me physically or if there was some issue that I would cease to be the pastor of this church for whatever reason through the years, that my wife would have a home that would be her home. And she would not have to immediately leave a parsonage because I was no longer in that parsonage. So, as we've come into this thing, this prescription, this church health initiative, and as I have put together the facts and figures working with the church board and leadership, and we decided what was going to happen, what the prescription was going to cost, my dad told me something a long time ago. Didn't have anything to do with church or spiritual things. He just told me, don't ever ask anybody to do anything you won't do yourself. So when you ask people to give, can't do that. You can't ask people to give if you're not going to give yourself. You can't ask people to give sacrificially if you're not going to give sacrificially. Can't ask people to do extra. I can't. Maybe some people can. I'm just telling you, I can't do it. Because I love my dad. And I believe in what he taught me, and I can't ask you to do something that I won't do myself. And so as we've entered into this thing, it's just been in the last 5 years or so, maybe 10 years, that as the children have begun to leave the home, that Jennifer and I maybe have begun to gain a little bit of ground and begin to kind of think about the future a little bit. And so I'm pretty conservative. Other people say I'm tight about money. So I began to try to create a future so that I could retire from the pastorate someday. I'll never retire from ministry, but I would like to retire from the pastorate someday and maybe do some enjoyable things before I can't. And I began to try to put some money back to do that. And God told me when we started this thing, challenged me that I needed to be able to not hang on to that too tightly. And so that's been a struggle. It's taken me a long time to get here, and now the Lord's talking to me about not necessarily staying in that place. And so what I want to share with you this morning, to be quite honest, is the overflow of my heart from the last several weeks of devotions that God has taken me through. I use for a devotional book to help me with my scripture reading. I use a book called My Utmost for His Highest. It was written by an 1800s pastor named Oswald Chambers, great preacher. And he writes a lot of stuff that's hard to hear, but I believe it's true. And so I want to share two or three quotes with you through the course of this message today that I've heard from him. And here's where it starts. I was reading and thinking about the cost of discipleship and the test of discipleship and those kind of things and our challenges and the things that are ahead of us. And I read this in one of the devotions. So long as there is a human being who does not know Jesus Christ, I am his debtor to serve him until he does. That's way too all-inclusive for me. See, I would rather that it said, as long as you have a family member that you love dearly that doesn't know Christ, you can serve them. Or I would rather that it said, as long as you have one of your church members that's struggling in the faith, serve them. Or I would rather that maybe even it just said, those people that you've developed really close friendships and relationships with through the years, and they mean something to you, serve them. That's not what it says. The challenge is, so long as there is a human being, I don't even have to know their name, who does not know Jesus Christ, I am a debtor to serve him until he does. That's why we do outreach. That's why we spend money on assimilation. That's why we go through church health initiatives. That's why we decide that our vision is to do the mission that Christ left us, which is to go make disciples. We don't have to know their name. All we have to know is that they don't know Jesus, and we'd like for them to. And if we're the person God put in their path to give them an opportunity, then we have a responsibility to that. And having heard that statement and some others that I'll share with you this morning, I want us to consider the test of discipleship. For as we look at this text, he begins to talk about what do we treasure. The word treasure means wealth stored up or held in reserve or something of great value. Now here's what I do know. Anything that you have stored here on this earth, when you die, it won't make you any difference. Pre-planning for family and all those kinds of things, I'm not opposed to any of that. I don't think God is opposed to that either, as long as that doesn't become an obsession greater than your obsession with Him. Things stored in heaven will be waiting for your arrival, if you go. And I think most of us are planning that way. So I've struggled with this. How do we find balance in the temporal and the eternal idea of treasure? For us, that almost always equates somehow to wealth and possessions, money in the bank, assets that we have. It's what our treasure is. And as we think about this challenge to do this mission, to make disciples, and how that affects things, I'm reminded of a passage in the book of Haggai when we talk about the temporal and the eternal. And this was a challenge from the prophet Haggai in the first chapter of the book that he left behind, verses 3 and 4. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? And then if you go on down to verse 9, he goes on to say, you expected much, but see, it turned out to be a little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin while each of you is busy with his own house. And so what I'm getting here is that what really bugs God is when you care more about your stuff than his. And when you invest yourself more in your plans than his. And when we study and prepare and do all kinds of things to take care of us and don't necessarily invest ourselves in his plan or his work. Now, I'm just telling you, I struggle with this as a person. I struggle with this line. I struggle with where it's at and how it works and what's the right way to handle this thing. But I'm reminded in Matthew chapter 6, if we go back to the chapter wherein we were reading the text from and we proceed on a few verses further, that in Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 34, we read these words. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The kingdom of God simply means this. That's not heaven. I mean, it is heaven in a sense, but it's not what it means here. The kingdom of God is any place where God is the sole authority. The kingdom of God is any place where God is the sole authority. Where he's in charge, that's his kingdom. Question is that here? Is God's kingdom here? What did Jesus teach the disciples to pray in the Lord's Prayer? He prayed that heaven would come down and be done here, that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, that God's kingdom would come to earth. How does it do that? Right here. When God is in charge of this, then God's kingdom's here on earth. Because he lives in the temple of the believer, the heart of the believer. Let me give you a biblical example that's right in the same passage of Scripture. Turn with me to Mark chapter 10, and I'm going to kind of skip through here for sake of time. But Mark chapter 10, verse 17, we find the story of the rich young ruler. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And that's a thought that's on our minds. Go to verse 21. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. There's treasure again. You will have treasure where? In heaven, not here on earth. Don't worry about treasure here on earth. Have treasure in heaven. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth, and so the indication is to us, he didn't listen. He was not willing to sell. He was not willing to give up. He didn't even think about it. He didn't say, well, let me pray over that. I'll pray and fast about that for about 5 days. And then if you're continuing to lay that on my heart, I'll go do that. No, he just turned right then and there. He went away sorrowful because he could not follow or would not follow what Jesus told him to do. Same passage of Scripture. Go down to verse 28. Jesus is talking to the disciples, telling them this story. Peter said to him, we have left everything to follow you. I tell you the truth, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, fathers, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions, in the age to come, eternal life. So what's he saying? We've got two examples here. We've got somebody who came to him and said, what do I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, well, you have a lot of wealth, and you're pretty proud of yourself, and you've done pretty good. Matter of fact, could you keep the commandments? He said, oh, I kept all of them. That tells you a little bit about where this guy's head was at. He said, I've done all the commandments. I haven't missed a one. How many people do you know that can qualify that way? And Jesus said, okay, cool. I'm glad you've done that. He didn't even say, no, you haven't, although he knew that he hadn't. He said, go sell everything you have. Because Jesus knew that keeping the commandments wasn't the real issue, because Jesus knows that nobody in the flesh has ever kept all of the commandments. But the very fact that this young man wouldn't admit to that gave Jesus an idea of his self-sufficiency. And the fact that he thought he had enough money to take care of himself and handle his own stuff and be more powerful than everybody and everything else, he said, go sell everything you have. Follow me. He went away sorrowful. So he said in his heart and his mind right then, no, I'm not going to do that. So he didn't pay attention to what Jesus said. On the other hand, the very disciples that Jesus is talking to, of which Peter is one of, who are already following him at the expense of their jobs and their families and everything else, Peter said, hey, I gave up everything to follow you. Where's that leave me? And Jesus said, that leaves you in really good shape. Because nobody who's given up everything has ever gone without anything. In this present age, I will take care of you. Follow my lead. And you don't have to worry about the everyday stuff. Oswald Chambers wrote, many of us are after our own ends. And Jesus Christ cannot help himself to our lives. If we are abandoned to Jesus, we have no ends of our own to serve. Paul delighted to spend himself out for God's interests in other people and did not care what it cost. Still quoting Oswald Chambers. We come in with our economical notions and say, suppose God wants me to go there, what about the salary? What about the climate? How shall I be looked after? A man must consider all these things. All that is an indication that we are serving God with reserve. End of quote. Now, if you're thinking right now, like I was thinking when I read this, I was thinking, God, that's not fair. I worked hard. I earned this money. I planned for retirement. I did this. I did that and this. And do I love you? Oh, yeah, I love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Will I do anything you ask me to do? Oh, Lord, I'll do anything you ask me to do. But this is not good sense. Is it anything? Well, I'll do anything that makes good sense to me. Lord, I'll do anything that doesn't interfere with my preconceived notions or plans or my agenda. Because, Lord, here's what I want to do. When I get here, I want to do that. And I can't do that there if I don't take care of this here. Oh. Well, so let's get back to this text about your heart, because it says that where your treasure is, that's that thing that you hold in great value. That's that thing you have stored up and held in reserve. Your treasure. Your treasure tells you where your heart is. How you hold your treasure tells you what's really in your heart. The heart is the true character. It carries the reasoning, the emotions, and the will, the whole personality, the emotional and moral part, the inner man, the affections, the motives, and the goals, one's innermost being, that which determines actions. And I would say to you this morning, if your heart is right, you can follow your heart. Because that's who you are. The word follow means to pursue or obey or keep one's attention fixed on. Follow your heart. What do you value? And where are your affections? Matthew chapter 15. Verses 7 and 8 read like this. You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. And then jump to verse 18. But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And these make a man unclean, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean, but eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean. So Jesus spent a good part of his ministry trying to get people to understand about the heart. You guys are all into all this outside legalistic stuff. I'm saying, what do you got in here? Following rules alone is not going to cut it. If you're following rules for the right reason, because your heart is right, then that's different. But if you're just following rules for the sake of following rules or making rules, that's not going to cut it. You need to learn to follow your heart. Now, I'm going to show you something, but I need to preface it before I show it to you. Otherwise, you'll focus on all the wrong stuff. I'm going to show you a little clip. I want you to take it in the context that it's intended. Forget that it came from a movie. Forget who the actors are that are in the movie. Focus on what you're seeing and hearing. A presentation of a secular song that was turned into a spiritual meaning. And hear the song in the context of where your heart is in regard to Jesus Christ.
I will follow
So, if they can write a song like that, and you can feel that way about someone to get into a long-term relationship, what would happen if that were true about us and Jesus? Which is the way that presentation was intended. It was presented as a love song to the Lord. I will follow Him wherever He may lead. I will follow Him. I will love Him forever and forever. There is nothing. There is no ocean. There is no mountain. There is no thing that can keep me away from my relationship with Him, because He is my destiny. That's why we were put here, folks. We were put here to love Him with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind and all of our strength. And every time I see that or hear that song, I don't think about the secular song. I think about the context of, do I still mean that? Do I still love Him more than my stuff? Do I love Him more than my retirement? Do I love Him more than my house? Do I love Him more than my bank account? Do I love Him more than my job? Will I do whatever He asks me to do? Would I spend myself for somebody else on His behalf? Or do I qualify everything? Lord, I'll love You this much. Lord, I'll love You if. Lord, I'll love You but. Lord, I. What are we really saying? You see, as you read the passage of Scripture, and He challenges us to let our heart determine our treasure rather than our treasure determining our heart. And you follow these Scriptures into the other testaments of the disciples, you run into some interesting continued thought. If you get into the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62, it says this: as they were walking along the road, a man said to Him, "I will follow You wherever You go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay His head." He said to another man, "Follow Me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow You, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Jesus is telling us, don't look back. When you make a decision to follow God, don't look back. When God challenges you to an act of obedience, don't look back. Don't recalculate. Don't try to figure it out on the world's terms. Don't try to figure it out by your common sense. Follow God with all of your heart. Love Him supremely. Be prepared to make sure that He is your treasure. 2 Corinthians 4:7, we have this treasure in jars of clay, so that this all-surpassing greatness can be seen by others. What greatness do they see in you? The accumulation of wealth and stuff and what you've done here on this earth? Or do they see this passion for Jesus Christ? What do they see? And I'll just tell you, I'm reminded of a historical account in Genesis chapter 19, verses 15 through 17. With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here. You'll be swept away when the city is punished." And when he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, "Flee for your lives, don't look back, and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you'll be swept away." And then if you go over to verses 25 and 26, it says, "Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, including all those living in the cities. and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. There are always consequences to not doing what God says to do. Always. And here's the final answer. Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 27. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Verse 33 says, "In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything." What did Peter say? "Lord, I've given up everything to follow you." "In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." Now, I can just tell you, I can put all kinds of twists on that, and I can make all kinds of explanations and stuff and justify and rationalize. But early in the morning, when it's quiet at my house and I'm reading these scriptures and God's talking to me, he's saying, "Gary, what about that account? Gary, what about that? If I want you to buy chairs, will you give me that? Gary, if I want a sign, will you give me that? Gary, if we need more carpet, more than the $30,000, will you give me that?" And I say, "Lord, if I absolutely know it's you, yes." That's not what I used to say. I used to say, "Well, if you met this criteria, or if it fell this way, or I was going to gain this from it, or whatever." I'm getting too old for that. I'm not, I mean, some of you are older than me. But I'm far enough along, I don't want to miss heaven. Because I could go one of these days. I read people in the obituaries every day my age. I don't want to have any obstacles. When I clear this temporal plane, I don't want any obstacles. I want to go straight in. Because Jesus said, "If I put my treasures in heaven, they'll be there waiting for me. But if I accumulate my treasures here on earth, then moth will destroy. And stuff that's here doesn't go with me." I don't know what God's saying to you. I'm not trying to tell you what God's saying to you. What I'm trying to do is present you the Word of God. You're going to have to figure it out from there. You won't figure it out if you don't pray about it. You won't figure it out if you don't ask God for His opinion. If you just try to tell God what you think, that's not going to get it figured out. What I believe is that this means, the context of the text, the story of the rich young ruler, what we're reading here, what I believe Jesus was saying is, you can't hold anything on this earth to be of more value to me than me. You can't have anything. Does it mean that every person literally has to give up every physical asset they have? No, I don't think it means that. I don't know how many physical assets you need to give up. And I'll know when God tells me what I need to give up, what I need to do. I can't tell you that. But here's what I can tell you. There better not be any physical asset that you're not willing to surrender if God asks right here and right now. Because if there is, then you're at the same point as the rich young ruler who walked away sorrowful and said, "Sorry, I can't do that." Will he ask? I don't know. But if he asks, the answer better be yes. That I know. The body of David Livingston. How many of you know who David Livingston was? Great missionary to Africa. The body of David Livingston was buried in England where he was born. But his heart, literally, his heart was buried in Africa. They took his heart from his body. and took it to the foot of a tall tree in a small African village, and the natives dug a hole and placed in the hole the heart of the man that they loved and respected, who had given his life for them. If your heart were to be buried in the place you loved most during life, where would it be? In your pocketbook? In an appropriate space down at the office? At your house? Or at the feet of Jesus? Where is your heart? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The test of discipleship is determining what your treasure is. Is it in earthly assets? Or is it the treasure in that earthen vessel? Stand with me. I don't know what God will ask of any of you, when he'll ask it. I just know that whenever God asks, we need to answer in the affirmative, because we have far more to be concerned about if we won't give up than anything we would lose if we say yes. And if we won't say yes, then we got other worries. So here's the question this morning. Without putting any specifics on it, God will have to put the specifics on it for you. Here's the question. Are you willing? Will you give anything God asks of you? From anything in your life to anything you consider a physical asset. Does God have all of you? Are you all in? Bow your heads and pray with me. Father, we thank you for this day. These altars are open. Lord, we don't know what you're asking of us. And I don't know what you're asking of anybody else. I know what you're asking of me. Lord, I know that there's a challenge ahead of us. And if we're going to negotiate this successfully, we've got to be dead serious about this making disciples thing. And we've got to be serious about sharing our faith. And we've got to be serious about investing ourselves in every possible way. Lord, we believe you've directed this. And Lord, I will follow you. Wherever you may lead, I'll go. There's not any ocean too deep, not any mountain too high to keep me from my destiny. How about you this morning? What's your destiny? Who do you love? And how much do you love them? Are you all in? Are you all in? I trust that you are. Brother Adam Fink, if you would. Pray a closing prayer for us, please.